morning, brothers and sisters. Nate, would you want to come pray? If I remember right?
I forgot.
Okay.
Sorry. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We just thank you for the opportunity to sit underneath the teaching of your word, Lord. Give us hearts of compassion as we heard this morning. Thank you for that. I do pray this time for Paul, Lord, that you would bless him with words of life, Lord, that he would have freedom to just speak things that you laid upon his heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Okay, well, good morning to each of you. It's good to be here, hear from the Lord again. Philip, thank you for preaching there on compassion. I believe that, yeah, that is kind of the route I was going to go on this morning a bit, but that's good. I had a message in my heart here for a while about another topic, but I think I kind of changed my direction here this week, and just to try to inspire us, I think, in with the things that happened this week, things changed dramatically for James's there, and I think that we want to see it as a work of God, and then that we can learn from it and grow from it and maybe get it in a better way. That's the heart of. I think that when we pray, sometimes there's things unfold that are very unexpected, but yet God is not surprised by anything. We want to remember that. He has our beginning and our end in mind, and sometimes we think it's a little off course. But so with that, I was just going to look at a few examples of in the scripture of when the people were in need and they cried unto God, that he responded in a way that filled with compassion. So maybe we can just learn from that this morning. And we're going to go through a few things. And I would just want to, when I get done, there's a principle I'd like to just remind each one of us here that kind of holds true in the course of Scripture. So my first example, we heard a little bit this past week when we had the youth meetings here, that a little bit about Gideon. And the backdrop of that was Gideon was a humble man, a young man, a humble man, and yet we see that God had a bigger plan in helping the Israelites out of their, but I would just like to say, and I'm not indicating or implying anything, we just want to let the scriptures be true here, but in Judges chapter 6, we'll start there. We're not going to read the whole chapter, but just get some points from it as we work through it here. And Judges chapter 6, it gives this word. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianite, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. In other words, it caused them to find hiding places. They wanted to be hid from the oppression of the Midianites. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou came come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. They came up, and the crops that the Israelites sowed, they took that. They took it all. They took their animals. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it or to destroy it and receive the fruit from it. And then it says in verse 6, that and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And sometimes a people in need or a person in need, that if we from the heart cry unto the Lord, God hears. That's the illustration I'd like to leave us this morning. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And then, now, this is where Gideon was hiding behind the winepress thrashing wheat. And the reason he was there was so that he could keep the flour to eat for food. He was hiding from the Midianites, and that's when the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, which was Jesus Christ, I believe. The heart of God is, the scripture says that Jesus was God in the flesh. And then this angel, what I'd like to concentrate on here is how that Gideon responded when the angel of the Lord appeared. It says here, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, verse 12, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him right away this question, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up out from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And sometimes it's very easy for each one of us to, when we're faced with difficulties, we begin to say, Why, Lord? And I believe that is the tendency of myself, and it's just where it's at. Why, Lord? And as we, then the Lord told him that I'm going to go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And if you could picture this, that right away Gideon would say, there's just no way. Impossible. And yet, with God, all things are possible. And then another thing I'd like to emphasize, we know the story here. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but he got an army around. Gideon said, we need, you know, we're going to get some people. Where's in verse chapter 7? And all the while, I think Gideon had a clear picture of this vast, innumerable group of people that he was supposed to help Israel from, or to overcome them. So he started getting people around, and you know how the army was reduced down to 300 men. And then the things I'd like to point out is that that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I think it is, the power of God, it is mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, that verse there. But more than that, when God gave them, what I think do us well to consider is that when God gave them, he said, take these 300 men and put them in three companies and then do whatever Gideon does. That he told them that this is what you should do. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him, verse 19 of chapter 7, came into the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and were in their hands. Verse 16 of the same chapter, moving back up, I wanted to get that. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. So they had a trumpet and they was holding a pitcher, probably a clay pitcher of some kind, and they're supposed to put a candle in there, a light, a lamp. Now, when we would consider that as weapons to go to warfare with, it would look pretty simple, pretty poor. Not sufficient enough. Just if we looked at that, and that's all we would, you know, how, Lord? But what I'd like to point out here is that the Lord, He has some instruments at our disposal, and sometimes they look about like this pitcher and this lamp and this trumpet. And we go to warfare with those three instruments. But where is that verse? I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'd like to turn to that right now just to get, maybe help us bring some clarity to that line of thinking. First Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That's what I would, just that Gideon knew when it was all over, that it was not because of what he had done, but it was because he was willing to obey, to do what God had told him to do. Now imagine us, sometimes we can get something strong and big and mighty and think that this is what we need to overcome my situation, rather than just use the instruments that God has at my disposal and let God work. And he does call us, you know, he calls us to obedience and to do what we would know to do. And then I think of just to Gideon as the first example, and then I'd like to turn to 1 Kings chapter 17 is another situation. This is the widow at Zarephath, which Jesus mentioned in his teachings in the New Testament. 1 Kings chapter 17, this is about Elijah. And there's also another principle I'd like to think of here is that, I'll touch that at the end, but in verse chapter 17 of 1 Kings gives this account. And I think that I want to just to have some words of encouragement here for each one of us this morning. You know, there's situations in our homes and households that we'd like to see changed. But God would have us to just use the instruments that are at hand. And here, let's read here. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord of God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, I would just like to, there's several things here that really, they kind of stand out. And this was, so he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, He called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now, in my, if I would just look at this, it would seem like, now why would God send anyone to a starving widow for help? Just think about it. She was very convinced that she was going to die and was going to eat one more time. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after that make it for thee and thy son. Let's just ponder that verse there a little bit. Make me one first. Serve the Lord first. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Then it goes on to there. Her son died. Elijah brought him back to life. And, you know, if a desperate people continues their heart to depend upon God for every situation, God is faithful. We want to remember that. He has never, all of his promises are true, and he's never failed on the first one of them, and he never will. We can trust him for that. And then moving on, let's move to the Shunammite woman. It's a kind of a similar story in 2 Kings chapter 4. Was another widow. And this is the woman that, let's just read it here. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that my servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. In other words, they had some debt, and the creditor was coming, say, I'll take your two sons. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. There again, they were desperate. Nothing to offer. I have a little here. Then he said, Go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour oil into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Kind of reminds me of what Philip shared on that God is full of compassion. You can't empty the compassion of God. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. And I do believe that in our lives, that if we're willing to sell the oil, God cares for us after the oil is sold each day of our life. That is the principle of God. God's heart is toward his people. And that is the one example that I'd like to turn yet to Mark chapter 5, maybe get some examples there of people that were in desperate need. Mark chapter 5. This is the account of the man of the Gadarenes that was very famous for his where he was and his disposition and how that he was. It's interesting that if you look at in Mark chapter 5, right before that was when Jesus was in a boat with the disciples and told the winds and the sea to be calm, and they obeyed him. Mark chapter 5, we'll read some issues there, some scriptures there. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Now it looked like the people were trying to work with this man. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And there's many things, as we read the scripture here, that I would have questions about. But what we can learn here is that the satanic powers quake against the power of Jesus Christ. That's one thing we can learn. And there's other things here that I would say it's kind of interesting that Jesus would ask that man, What is thy name? And yet we have this account. And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. It seemed like there was a conversation going on here. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. He gave them liberty to do that. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, for they were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. That must have been quite a sight. To think about that, just at the command of Christ, 2,000 pigs running into the sea. And then we have the ones that, and they that fed the swine fled and told it to the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting, and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell them that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, and began to pray him to depart out of their coast. It was such a major event that they were shocked. They asked Jesus to leave is the way I'm understanding this here. And when he was come into the ship, he that hath been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, or did not allow it, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And sometimes when a hard or difficult situation comes to us, we kind of tend to forget at the moment what God hath done for us in the past. And here a verse in 1 Samuel 12:24 says, Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. And that's what Jesus told this man, to tell people what God has done for you. So that's just some, and then moving on down into that chapter but what I'd like to point out here, that each of us in our lives probably has the opportunity to be an instrument in the Lord's hand. And I pray for myself and each one that when that opportunity comes, it's not about moving a mountain, it's about employing what God has given you to employ. It's not a big thing. God gives us, always puts things in our path that we have the means to make a difference by His grace. We have, it's right what Philip preached this morning, that we have the means to make a difference by the grace of God. And as we look at, I just like to say this yet, in this chapter, this woman, moving down in verse 25, there's another thing. A desperate people saw that Christ was the man of compassion. That was His ministry, and I'm sure that that spread abroad very rapidly, that He showed compassion, He healed the ones that were sick, He cast out demons, and everybody knew that He was a source of making situations completely different. And they wanted to come to Him because they had witnessed His compassion many times. And I know that we're not Jesus Christ, and yet we're instruments of His by the grace of God. I don't say that. I just say it as factual. And a certain woman, which at verse 25 had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, "If I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And His disciples said unto Him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touches me?" And He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. And He said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Her faith, she had heard, and it had made her whole. But Jesus, in one place, it says that He knew that virtue had gone out of Him. And then I think that sometimes that I say that to myself. We, as the people of God, sometimes are very reluctant to ask advice. Sometimes it looks like if we would ask advice, we get this thought that I should really know that myself already, you know, but surely I can figure it out. But God, remember that God is faithful to have instruments beside me that I can ask, and God will answer and give me some counsel. Remember that the Scripture says that in a multitude of counselors there is wisdom. So as we live our life, we don't need to be walking in the fear of God. Remember that also as Christians that God is looking to purify us as gold. And with that purifying process, He chastens us because He loves us. I don't believe that God, I want to be careful how I say that, but we want to, in Hebrews it says that as a father pitieth his children. Now it's just like, why do we as parents, dads, it's our responsibility to chasten our children at times. Because God has placed them under our authority, and because we love them, and we know that if they continue without discipline for this matter, it's only going to be bigger the next time. That's just something to think about. You know, so God is that way as our Heavenly Father in Hebrews. I'd like to turn to that yet. I don't have a long message here this morning. I just thought a few points for us to consider. And when we consider these things, we need to understand that God is looking down and He sees a whole lot more than I do. We can trust Him for that. He's got my future and your future in mind, and He uses people in our futures to direct our steps. Hebrews, let me find that here. Yeah, in Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, I think that sometimes I think the scripture teaches us, as ye receive the Lord Jesus Christ, walk ye in him. And yet there's a promise that's attached here that when we receive him right here, when the Lord God received us through Jesus Christ, he's going to bring some scourging and some chastening. Does that make, I believe it's just a principle of God's word. Because when there's things that we need to learn, and I'm speaking first to myself. But he says here, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? So, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Now sometimes, as Christians, we can look at the success that a worldly person might have, and yet he's not a son. So remember that. The Lord chasteneth whom he loves. Furthermore, this is going on what I was talking about earlier. We have had earth fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. It is not. It is not, chastening is not joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. In other words, when that comes, God would have it that things change to draw us closer to that plumb line that Philip was talking about. When that as we receive it, if we yield to that chastening, it yields that peaceable fruit of righteousness. Because of this, we can lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So that is just some things that I'd like to point out. But in all of these illustrations, there's a couple things that God used some small instruments. When Gideon went to war, he told them to take a trumpet and a lamp and a pitcher. And the Shunammite woman, he told her to get, she had a pot of oil. It looked pretty insignificant. And also the widow of Zarephath, she had a couple sticks and a little meal. So they looked pretty insignificant. And yet, when they're exercised in faith, God gives the increase and changes our situation. So I just want to leave you with that this morning, and may the Lord bless each one of you.